Let's take our Bibles and we'll open to Genesis 22. I'd like to do it just a little differently this morning, in that I'd like us to read together this chapter, 19 verses, and then I'd like to ask you to contribute, give your comments. It's a story that we're very familiar with, most of us, I'm sure. And I'd like for you to share what God is saying to you. We've been considering this thought of living by faith. And different ones from Hebrews 11 who live by faith. So we're up to Abraham. We considered Abraham and Sarah. I guess that was our last time together in the morning. This morning we have the story of Abraham and Isaac. And maybe before we even read from Genesis 2, if you just take your little booklet, and we'll read that verse from Hebrews 11 that's there underneath number 5. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. All right, so let's read now from 22nd chapter. Why don't we start? We'll start on this side. Elizabeth, you read and we'll kind of read our way back up this way and then across the back. Okay? One verse each.
After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am.
Then he said, Take him now, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of the Moriah, and of whom there is a burnt offering on the hill of the mountains of the Egypt.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him.
On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar.
Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two fell much together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together.
And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order to bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son.
But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied.
Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Sister Lisa.
And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time.
And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son.
I will surely bless you, and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies.
And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
So Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
hallelujah. I parallel this trial with the trial our Heavenly Father must have had to endure when he sent his only begotten Son. I can't fathom this experience. And yet here Abraham obeyed God and did something I can't fathom. I can't fathom it. I don't know if I could do that. But yet he did. He's a marvelous example of love for God. But I think this is a foreshadowing of the so great love that God had for us. I guess it's, if you're a parent, you can really empathize with Abraham and the grip of his heart, that the pain that he must have endured in this circumstance, but yet he had an eye of faith and he believed God, and I think that's so marvelous. So, you know, it's maybe he saw beyond the trial. Maybe he didn't see that he was giving his son, his only son. Why did they repeat that? It's like they were making it hurt, you know. But yet, that's how greatly he loved God, that he was willing to obey God in this way. But yet, what faith he had in God, that God would provide, that Jehovah would be his Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And we know that wonderful phrase, Jesus never failed, and he hasn't failed. He hasn't failed. God hasn't failed us. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Yes, Lord.
How marvelous, how marvelous. God is the true example of sacrifice, the true example of trust and of loyalty and dependability. How marvelous. Words can't tell. We need Mr. Spurgeon here or somebody, or Brother Phil, to convey what truly happened here.
I like verse 8. In the King James it says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And to me, that's just a foreshadowing of what the Lord did. He provided himself as the Lamb to take away our sins. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. I love that Abraham was so obedient. He didn't even question God. There was not even hesitation. And I was just reminded again, even in this and everything that's been going on, how the Lord works, you know. He works so mysteriously. He works all things out for us. And again, what Mary said yesterday, just to be still, the Lord was reminding me again in the midst of a huge crisis that I'm facing myself. There's nothing I can do in my own strength. There's nothing. Sometimes I don't even know how to walk, how to put one foot in front of the other. And yet, in the storm, God spoke, peace, be still, and it was still. And he keeps us in our storm. And like Mary said, you know, just to know that God is there. And even in this, Abraham knew. He didn't even question. And what strikes me the most with all these heroes of the Old Testament, they didn't even know Jesus. They don't have the hope that we have. They didn't know of all that grace, and yet they trusted the Lord and they acted. And because of that, I stand on, you know, we benefit from the covenant that God made with Abraham in this. And it was through Abraham, the story of Abraham, that I came to know the Lord. It was through that song, Father Abraham. I was so curious about this Father Abraham who had so many sons, and I needed to know about him. And that's how we came, right? Brother Philly, Brother Tom's brother came with a guitar. I was sharing this morning to the flock, and he sang of this Father Abraham who had so many sons. And, you know, today I count myself as one of his daughters, and I'm so thankful for that, and for God's faithfulness and his covenant to him, and for his obedience even in this. And so I thank you.
Verse 7, when the son asked, where is the sacrifice? And even how the son was obedient, like his father was like tying him up. He wasn't wrestling. He was like, Dad, where is the sacrifice? So it just went past, like, how he was obedient to God and the son was trusting the dad. Got up early in the morning. It was like he didn't, like, I want to be like that, like not delayed. He just got up very early in the morning and just did it. And then he went to worship. He knew what was going to happen, but he was trusting God. But no matter what the circumstances were going to be, he was just trusting God. We built an altar.
Verse 17 reminds me of a psalm. Verse 17 says, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. In Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the gate. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can have that claim, that we can have that promise for our children. But it's also a challenge, at least to me, because that psalm opens up with, unless the Lord builds a house, unless the Lord watches over the city. And Abraham had to have known that psalm before that psalm was written. But he knew God was going to do something. He didn't know what. I think it says later on in Hebrews, maybe, or somewhere else, that, you know, he thought he was going to raise him back from the dead, but whatever it was, he knew God was going to do something. He knew God was in control. He knew it was the Lord's work. And so he gave it up. He gave up the thing that was most precious to him. And he yielded to the Lord. And I guess that's when the Lord can build. That's when he can watch. When it's all in his control. So it's a challenge to me. To let the Lord work, to take him at his word, to trust him. Even when I don't understand it, even when I think I may know what's best, he ultimately knows better. And what a good thing to fall into his hands, into his working. And so I'm thankful for that promise, but also that challenge, to hold on to him, to hold on to Jesus, to let him work, to let him do what he wants, because when he builds and when he watches, he keeps. And he gives victory. And that we can own that promise. Not just for our children, but for ourselves. We are the offspring of Abraham. We shall not be put to shame when we speak to our enemies at the gate. As we let him work. As we let him build. As we let King Jesus reign.
Hallelujah.
So I'm thankful for that truth.
Amen.
Sitting here thinking about what we've talked, what Brother Phil spoke about yesterday, the testimony we heard from, I think, Sister Karen, the missionary from China. How much are we willing to give up?
What are we willing to give up? And this is by far one of the least favorite stories in the whole thing. Because I just can't imagine what the struggle that Abraham was going through and the faith that he had. Because as a parent, I don't have a son, but I don't know if I'd be able to tie up my child and say, here. I just don't know. I mean, and I like to think that I have faith. But what are we willing to, how much are we willing to give up for God? How much are we willing to sacrifice? And that's what comes to my mind when I'm sitting here thinking about, are we willing to give up the ultimate? What is the ultimate thing we're willing to give up? God gave us his son. That was the ultimate. He didn't hold back. And that's what comes to my mind. How far are we willing to go? What are we willing to give up to please God?
This speaks two things to me. Total obedience to God. So many times, you know in your heart what God wants you to do. Starts off, behold, here am I. You hear that quiet voice in your head. What does God want you to do in something? He rises up early in the morning because some people can say he's henpecked or whatever. He's got a strong wife. And he knows he can't talk to her. He can't tell her. Oh my goodness, if he told her what he was going to do, do you think it would ever happen? Not in a million years. What, are you crazy? You're going to take my little daughter? It's not happening. So it was instant obedience, complete and total obedience, and that's what God wants. And he wants us sold out to him. And because he did that, the word of God from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, he desires our whole heart. He promises that if we trust him and if we obey his voice, we're going to have blessings. And it's, you know, you can hear all these wonderful Christian songs sugar-coated, but then when the rubber meets the road, it's not easy. I'm going through one of the most difficult tests in my life, and God's asking me, I can't withhold my son. He's not my only son, I have six, but it's like he's my only son. And I'm asking God for total peace through this test. I don't know what he went through, what Abraham went through, but I know what I'm going through. And I know that I have precious promises in the Word of God.
Yes.
And then I'm standing on them, and that God wants to give me total victory because the answer's right there. Jehovah Jireh. He is my Lord, and just as he will provide for me whatever you might be going through in your stage in life, he commands total obedience. But he's there to provide for whatever the need is to give you total victory to go all the way through. And so, yes, like our sister, I've been praying over this for 2 years, and it is definitely not my favorite chapter in the Bible.
I look at Abraham as a shining example of faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we don't see things right away, but there's evidence, because we know and trust in God. And Abraham staggered not at the promise through unbelief. And sometimes our unbelief gets in the way. We believe God with our head, but our heart isn't really there, because if our heart was really in there, you know, we had that faith. And so we have these wonderful promises in the Word of God, or admonitions, if you will, when you read about Abraham. It says, I know he will command his household after. He knew, and he was a friend of God. He loved God. He trusted God, and God could trust him. And he had that faith that staggered not, no matter what. I mean, here he was, 99 years old, his wife's womb was dead. She laughed. And yet, the faith that he had, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know, it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing story of a man of faith. And God wants all of us to have that. And what God says, you know, he means. I remember when I was reading the Word of God, I thought, wow. When we say things, sometimes we say with enthusiasm, and we try to help people along in their faith, and it might be just words, but God doesn't tease us through His Word. If He says, I'm the Lord thy God, which feel like He means every minute of that, every bit of that, I am the Lord. When He says He'll take us through, He will take us through. And why is it so hard for the children of God to not trust God? You know, I mean, really have that faith like Abraham. So we have these examples of faith. And they're in there for us so that we too have our faith strengthened, so we don't have to stagger anymore. And we stagger through unbelief. We don't really stagger the word. We just, if we would believe it, we'd stand on it and we'd go all the way through. And I'm not trying to knock us down here. I'm just trying to say we have these. He was a man. He wasn't God. He was just a man. And yet he had that faith that was steadfast, unmovable. And God wants us to have that steadfast. Praise God. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I think it's funny. We're actually talking about this passage recently in our Sunday school class, and talked about how Abraham had faith, but Isaac had a lot of faith too, because at the point in time this happened, Abraham was well into his like hundreds, and Isaac was probably like a teenager. So if he didn't want to let himself be tied up on that altar, he certainly could have stopped his dad from tying him up. But he led him anyway, just like Jesus was a willing sacrifice later on. But also, this relates to us giving, like sacrificing things in our lives, but also points to the fact that we're supposed to be willing sacrifices, because in one of the epistles, I forget which one.
Romans 12,
yeah,
1.
Just to pour yourself out as a living sacrifice. So not only should we let things go, but we should let ourselves go completely to the Lord.
Amen. I know the girls are going to leave just in a moment, but just a few things I think are what spoke to me and I think are important in this chapter. Everything that's been said has been wonderful, by the way. I appreciate your contributions this morning, and it encourages our faith together. I think one of the key words here is found in the second verse. He says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac," and now is the phrase, "whom thou lovest." Whom you love. The one you love. I think it's about love, this chapter. It's about sacrifice, yes, certainly. But it's about what you love. Now, you can read many commentaries about this and get confused. But I think the central thought here is that Abraham had walked with God for over 25, 30 years now, right? He had to walk with it. There was no doubt about it. I don't know if we really need this chapter. I think our understanding of Abraham as the father of the faithful might be complete without it. I'm being a little bit careful in what I'm saying. Don't go say that to anybody else. But my point is that this seems to be on top of everything else that God had required of Abraham. To believe for 25, isn't that enough, Lord, that I've had to wait 25 years for this son, for your promise to be fulfilled? And I know that he got up early in the morning, but I wonder if he was up all night saying, God, really? You promised Isaac to me, and now you want him back? But it says by faith. I'm thankful for the passage in Hebrews. It gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us some insight into what was going on. That he believed that even if he did this, that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead. But it was about love, I believe. I don't know, I don't want to read too much. Some read into it and say, well, maybe he was loving Isaac more than his God. I don't know. But the point is that God wants you to love him supremely. And not his blessings, not what he gives you, not material, not spiritual, not even answers to the promise, as it were, are to take that place, first place in our hearts. I don't want to love God because he answers my prayer. I don't want to love God because he blesses me. I don't want to love God because he even fulfills his promise. I want to love God because of who he is. The faithful God, the covenant God, the God who says, yes, I am the Lord that sees. I am the Lord that provides your every need. And I think that there's a danger in all of our hearts. I don't think this was sinful. It wasn't that God was dealing with sin, you know? I mean, sometimes that's where we're at, right? There are sinful things that we need to give up. Isaac wasn't sinful. This wasn't about sin. It wasn't about something that was terrible. It was something that was good. And yet God says, Abraham, now I know. Now I know that you truly fear me. That I'm first in your life. I dare say that in any Christian who is serious about walking with God, there will be an Isaac. That there comes a point in each of our experience, if we are determined to follow Jesus all the way, that there'll come a point where God will say, that thing, that one, give it to me. Just lay it on the altar. I want your love supremely. And then the choice will be made. And we might not lose out on our salvation, beloved. I don't think Abraham would have lost out. I think God's promises were sure. But I believe there was an added blessing. And again, I believe there was an added blessing when Abraham did this. And God spoke the second time from heaven and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you the land. All nations will be blessed. He confirms this covenant with him. Not much of the story of Abraham after this. You know, it tells us how he got married again and different things. But this seems to be the final, the capstone on Abraham's life, that by faith he was willing to give to God the most important thing to him, the thing that had his heart, the one whom you love, just give it to me. I think it was right at the beginning of our time here that our sister Mary gave us that song, Give Me Thy Heart, says the Father above, nothing so precious to him as our love. The thing that has your love, the thing that has your heart, has you. And so, God, we want to give you our hearts again today. We want to love you first. We want to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And so, Lord, I know that you deal with each one of us individually. And, Lord, you know where we are in our walk with you. And you speak to us. You meet us where we are. And, Lord, you know those who maybe are facing a situation where they need to put Isaac on the altar, as it were. Lord, I pray that you'd give the grace and the faith to see beyond that, to know that you are able to fulfill your promise. Lord, I pray that you would remove things from our hearts that take your place, things that we maybe love more than we love you. Lord, sometimes we don't even see it, but you see. And you put your finger on those things, that one. Lord, we know that your heart is full of love for us. For God so loved the world, so loved. And Lord, we just want to be able to bow before you this morning and say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. And teach me to love you as your angels love. Beloved, this is a work that the Holy Spirit must do in us. His love filling our hearts, his love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. To know we are loved by God and then to love him in return. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe it would be good if we sang that together from the hymn book. 395. 395. Had to think that, you know, really bound up in Isaac was Abraham's life. When you think about it, everything that he had lived for, stepping out from his father's house, leaving everything behind, it was to obtain the promises of God. And now God says, give everything. Everything was bound up in Isaac. The entire promise, and he gives it back to God. So in a way, he was the one on the altar. And so the question is my all on the altar? We may even have our plans in the ways of God, so to speak, what God's going to do with my life, or where he's going to take me, and what he's going to do with my family, and they may be all good desires, but they need to be put on the altar. Lord Jesus, you must have full control. You must have your way in everything. Oh, Jesus. So we receive grace this morning from you. God, there must be grace that accompanies this word, which seems so difficult to us naturally. Oh, we receive that abundance of grace. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, minister to our hearts today. Minister to us, dear Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid.
Dad, pray with us, please.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Lord, may we have a life that is yielded completely to you, that you may take control.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way. Jesus, take us today afresh. Make us what we ought to be.
Yes, Lord.
That you may be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Lord bless you.